You realize what I've done to you, don't you? You may not remember a single sermon point today, but you'll never forget the dancing turkey. As a matter of fact, rest assured that song is going to stay stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Don't be a turkey. Just say thanks. We've been looking at this sermon series called Faceless Book. And just kind of, if you haven't been with us for a few weeks or this is your first time, let's just kind of catch up what we're doing here. We went through the scripture and we have found 9 people in the Bible that simply don't have a face. They don't have a name. We don't really know where they came from. We don't know much about their history. And we don't even know where they went. All we know is that they had one chance meeting with Jesus to change their life. We started out and we looked at the woman at the well. And we talked about the face of regret. And then we went over and we looked at the woman suffering with the bleeding problem. We looked at the face of desperation. And last week, through a faceless mom, we looked at the face of determination. And this morning, we're going to talk about this word, thankfulness. And the definition of thankfulness is very simple. Thankfulness is a positive emotion or attitude, acknowledgement of a benefit that one has received or will receive. And I read that definition, which came right out of the dictionary, and the thing that just explodes to me is that being thankful is an attitude, not just an action. See, you see the dancing turkey video, and you're thinking, Barry, you've got your calendar all wrong. This isn't the month that we do dancing turkey. That's in November sometime. But see, sometimes we take things out of context, and we put things where we don't expect them, and it kind of heightens our senses a little bit. Because at times we can be a very thankless society. We sing the songs like Count Your Many Blessings, and you know what? If we truly took time to sit down and count every single blessing God has given us, you know what? We'd be counting an awful long time. We probably wouldn't have much time to also do anything except for just count our blessings. So this morning I want to take the idea of thankfulness and move it just to something that we do, a blessing for the meal, an action that we do. And I want to often look at and explore the idea about an attitude of thankfulness. And we're going to be looking at this man, these 10 men with diseases, as our turkey friend says. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 19. You have your scripture, you can turn that way, and we're going to kind of break this thing apart one piece at a time as we go through it. And we're going to begin in verse 11. It says, now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So as our story opens, Jesus is on the move. And remember, a few weeks ago, when he had need to go from one end to the other, he cut straight through Samaria. And this is where he met the woman at the well. But now as he's moving back, he doesn't go through Samaria. This time he's taking the more traditional route. See, Jews didn't usually go through Samaria. They went around. And so this time, Jesus is taking the traditional route, and he's moving right around the edge, right where Samaria and Jerusalem are bordering. And he's stopping village by village, and he's teaching. And he's preaching. And he's explaining things as he's going. And then, as we get to verse 12, this is what happened. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Now, we hear that term leprosy. You know what leprosy is? I'll be honest with you. I've always seen the pictures. You know, they had the little flannel board. We didn't have PowerPoint when I was a kid. We had flannel board. And they had the little flannel board characters, and you know, you always see the lepers, and you really never got a good look at them because they were covered from head to toe. So this morning, I want you to understand exactly what leprosy is, so we can know exactly how thankful these men should have been. Leprosy, well, it's an infectious disease that causes severe disfiguration, skin sores, nerve damage to the arms and legs. There's a loss of feeling to the arms and legs as it progresses. And ultimately, there is muscle weakness. Now, we have a lot of diseases in our culture today, but you know what? Leprosy today, well, it's not one of the ones that's really big. Today, well, there are about 180,000 people worldwide that are infected with leprosy. This is according to the World Health Organization. I didn't just go counting, I promise you. There is about 200 people that are infected here in the United States, mostly in the Deep South, California, and believe it most, believe it or not, most of the cases are in Hawaii. So when we talk about leprosy today, 200 people among the millions that are in America, this is not a disease that we come in contact with very much today. But in biblical times, well, it was totally different. According to Luke chapter 4, 27, this is what it says. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. See, during Old Testament time, this was something that went along greatly. And as we move into the Roman culture, leprosy was something that was still found pretty common among the population. It was considered to be a curse, according to Numbers chapter 12. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw how she had been, how she had this defiling skin disease. See, usually when you saw somebody that was suffering from leprosy, you usually got the head, you got the head that, well, they had done something. It was something that was usually associated with sin. Although maybe not justly so, but that's what happened. And then, you know what? It was considered an unclean disease. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean." People that suffered with this disease, it was always considered an unclean thing. We kind of funny, we talked about the hand washing thing this morning. These people were never considered clean. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, we find out, well, they're outcasts. Anyone such as a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let the hair be unkempt, cover the lower parts of their face, cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as they have disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. That sounds pretty harsh. And this is the situation that these 10 men find themselves in. As a matter of fact, just take a look at where they're standing. When Jesus says they were standing at a distance, they were crying out to Jesus. Because you know what? They could never be made clean. They could never come home again as long as they had this skin disease about them. So we move to verse 13. And this is what we find out. One of them, when he saw... I just turned my page too much, too quick. I'll go back. Verse 13. The cry for help. And they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." These men stand and they begin to cry out for help. "Jesus, Jesus, have pity on us." You think they hadn't heard? They knew the reviews of Jesus. Remember, he had been traveling along that border, healing people as he's going, preaching as he's going, and these men had decided to kind of make a stand. Now, unlike the desperate woman who just kind of didn't identify herself, and unlike the desperate woman that went into the crowd and just reached out to touch Jesus, these men were a little more traditional in their approach. They knew the law. They weren't allowed to get close to Jesus. So they just stood on a hill and they began to cry out. And the amazing thing is that, well, Jesus, he responded to that. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. I wonder what that looked like. These men were standing on the hill, and they were crying out to Jesus, and they were asking for mercy. And Jesus said, "I'll tell you what, you head toward the priest and show them to yourselves, and by the time you get there, everything will be good." And as they're walking along, I mean, you can almost see the Hollywood special effects, couldn't you? The skin begins to heal, the paleness begins to go away, and maybe new skin begins to grow. I don't know what it looked like, but it says as they were taking their walk to the priest, they became healed. And by the time they got there, all the leprosy was gone. Man, could you imagine what that would look like? It means that you could go home and you can sit around the table and eat. It means you don't have to live outside the camp in a tent anymore. It means you don't have to yell, unclean, unclean, every time you come near any other person. Can you imagine what that would feel like, be giving your life back in that fashion? You know, we've had quite a few people here that have had struggles with cancer. And we've had quite a few people in this church that have beat cancer, and they went on to have a life, a very long life after they have been diagnosed with cancer. Probably the closest thing I can come to this. You know, when you have cancer and you have to undergo chemotherapy, and you have to undergo all the other treatments, and you have to go to all the shots, and it seems like you spend 90% of your time at the doctor's office, and you just aren't up to much of anything, all your energy is gone, you don't feel like eating. And then when the doctor says, you know what, I can't find any more cancer, go back to your life. I can imagine, man, that must be a huge weight lifted from you. That's what these men had experienced. But the funny thing is as we turn to verse 15 and 16, something's wrong with the scripture. See, verses 15 and 16 says, one of them. Let that stand out for a moment. One of them. 10 men stood on the hill. But only one. When he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Funny how they break that up again. This is what, third or fourth time we ran into a Samaritan. That somehow seems to get it more than the Jewish people did. The other 9 men went and showed themselves to the priest, and you know what? They went home. They went about their life. But I want you to look at this guy. I think it says a lot about thankfulness. You see, he came back and he praised Jesus. It says he got loud. He came back and he said, Jesus, Jesus, look, I'm healed. I'm healed. Look at me. It's all gone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It says he worshiped him. It says that he fell down at his feet. He became prostrate. This was a position that was usually safe for when you were worshiping God, to humble yourself at the feet of a person. And then he said, just thanked him. Notice it didn't say he offered him anything, because this man probably had none. Remember, he had suffered from leprosy. He probably didn't have a job. He probably made his living by begging if anybody would even get anywhere close to him. He had absolutely nothing to offer Jesus except for his thanks. And this brings us to the more serious problem that we have to look at, because Jesus noticed it. Verses 17 and 18. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Obviously a rhetorical question, but maybe Jesus wants to know, what, did it only work for you? Weren't there 10 of you? Weren't there 10 people that stood on the hill crying for pity? Didn't we show mercy to 10 people? He says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And that last question, well, it wasn't to the man, it was to the crowd that had assembled around. See, because you know it had to happen. Jesus had showed pity on these lepers, and he just kept on moving, and the leper catches up with him, and he's yelling, thank you and praising God. A little crowd begins to gather. And Jesus looks at him and says, do you see this? This foreigner? This man that you look down your nose at? He gets it. Where are the others? It's a very serious problem. But then we get to what's an interesting statement. It says that he was made well, verse 19. Then he said to him, rise up, go, your faith has made you well. And it's an interesting thing because physically this man was already well. Physically this man had already received a healing. And now Jesus is saying, look at that, begins to that. Now this faith, this idea that you came back and you thanked me, that has made you well. See, this seems to be something more. I don't think this has anything to do with the leprosy at all. You see, this man had another disorder in him. One that was quite deadly. And one that, if you think about it, it's really our story. It is the story of the members of Stanton Church of Christ. It is the story of everybody in the world. No matter what church you go to, no matter if you even go to church. This is your story. And it looks much like these men that were plagued with leprosy. You see, the Bible says that, well, like these men, we have a disease. It's called sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not an uncommon verse to us. As a matter of fact, we read this verse once so that we have it in the little flyer out front that we send home to people that would like to know what it means to accept Christ. We have it everywhere we go. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. But let that roll around. See, because let's be honest, when we hear that verse, for all have sinned, you know who we usually think of? For all the people out there, they've sinned. Oh no. For all have sinned. That means that disease impacts my life. That disease impacts your life. Romans 3:23 says all, and it does mean all. Everybody sinned. And because of that sin, just like these 10 lepers that stood on the hill, well, there was a consequence for that disease of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. I want to stop right there. Yeah, there's another part of the verse. We'll talk about that in a second. For the wages of sin is death. It means that if I have this disease of sin in my life, it means that I experience death. And as we have talked about before, we're not talking about death in the coffin. We're not talking about the physical death where we go out and we put your body in the ground and we say nice words about you and everything like that. That's not the death we're talking about. There's a death that separates you from God. The moment you sin. Think back to the Garden of Eden. As soon as they both had eaten the fruit, as soon as Adam took up the fruit, it says their eyes were open immediately. Something inside of them died. And it works that way for us. The moment sin enters into our life, even as a child, it says that there's a separation there. There's something that's just not whole anymore. And so there has to be, just like these men, some kind of cry out for help. And that's the second part of this verse. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, as people, we devise all kinds of ways to fix our sin issues. Come on, we do it. We make a list of the do's and don'ts. We come to church, we read our Bible, we pray, you know, we participate in religious activities, we try to work our way to heaven, and all of that doesn't work for anybody. It isn't until the point that we're standing on that hill and we look out and we see Jesus and we start crying out for pity. It isn't until the point that we realize there is no way to fix the issue I've got. Just like those 10 lepers, there was no medical treatment for that. Just like there is no treatment for our sin condition except for the fact that Jesus says he became a gift. And this is the response. God's reply, just like Jesus had a reply that day, God had a reply for us, and it is a reply of mercy. Romans 5:8. For God has demonstrated his love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite verses in the Scripture. Every Bible I have is highlighted in. It usually has little stars drawn around it. And I love this verse so much because it says, while we were yet sinners, while my life is still broken and busted, while I am still suffering with my disease, while I am still struggling with the symptoms, Christ died for that person. He didn't die for me because I impressed him so much with my ability to speak. Thank heavens he didn't die for me because I impressed him so much with my ability to sing, because that wouldn't work. No, God died for me just because he loved me. Just like these 10 men on the hill, Jesus didn't heal them because of what he could do what they could do for him, he healed them because he was the only one that could do for them. That's a big difference. It means that God doesn't want me to get my life all straight before I can come to him. It means he wants me to take the busted, broken life and bring it back to him and say, look, we'll work on it. As you are going, just like the leper, as you are going to the priest, you will get healed. As you are walking with Christ, we'll deal with the sin issue. That's important. Because the ultimate goal, he's clean. Romans 6, 8 through 10. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. You see, Jesus wants to clean up our life. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. I promise you. If you give your life to Christ, the day you come forward and you accept him, the day you follow in baptism, I'm going to promise you by the time you leave the church building, you know what? You're going to still be struggling with sin. It isn't like this magic incantation that builds a bubble around your life for the rest of your days. It doesn't work that way. But what he says is that, you know what? We're going to clean up your life. We're going to clean it up little by little, problem by problem. As you trust me with those problems, well, I'm going to trust to clean them up for you. And so here's the question I want to ask you. Today, are you in the minority or the majority? Now, if I was to ask you that question, if you look at the political polls that are out there in the USA Today and all the other newspapers, you know the reaches, right? You see them? Christianity is on the shrinking side. As a matter of fact, for the first time, I think it's like 48% of people identify themselves as Christians in America. We're finally in the majority, in a minority. But that's not the minority or the majority that I'm talking about. I'm talking about these 10 lepers. Because there were 10 of them. And 90% took the gift that was given them. And they took the healing that was given them, and they never thought about Jesus again for the rest of their life, as far as we know. They never came back to say thank you. Who knows what they told their families when they went home? Who knows if they ever uttered the name of Jesus? Who even knows if they really even knew who he was, except for he was just some great healer that came by and showed me a little bit of mercy? 90% of the people took the gift that was given just went home. 10%. One person took the time to come back to Jesus and say, thank you. How did he thank you? Not from physical standpoints, not because he gave him money, not because he gave him anything except for he gave him what he had. His praise, his worship, his thanks. You know what? I've got a sneaky suspicion this man became a follower of Christ. Because when Jesus said you have been made clean, that's what he's up to. He cleaned the man on the inside. He took care of the real disease in his life. And I got a feeling this man probably followed Christ for the rest of his days. Will you come back? Or are you just going to go? That's the real question, right? Jesus came and he gave his life on a cross for you. Will you come back to him? Or will you just take that gift that was given and you just kind of acknowledge it, go about your life? You know, when you're really in the bind, maybe you'll come back and cry for a little more mercy or some pity. When life starts to go down, you begin to think, where's the church? But God doesn't want us just in that state. It's funny, Jesus tells a parable. One of those parables we've discussed before is about two roads. Really, it's not two roads. It's one road and one dirt trail. See, the first road looks like a four-lane highway. And you want to tell you what, the traffic moves on that thing and it goes zipping back and forth. And you know, there are little off ramps. You can stop at McDonald's, the Dairy Queen, and you get all the food that you want, Invitation Freeze. You get all the food that you want, and it moves along, and all is good in life. That's the big highway. And you know what the Bible says? That highway has a destination to it. It ends in destruction. And then he talks about this little narrow dirt trail. And he looks at the people and said, this path, well, it's kind of narrow. As a matter of fact, very few people will ever find it. There are very few people that are ever thankful enough for what God did to them to come back to me. It's very, very, very small. As a matter of fact, you won't even find it on a map. The only place you'll find this trail is you've got to find somebody that's already walking the trail. And they'll show you the entrance to it. And it says that this trail, well, it's kind of rough terrain sometimes. It goes up and down. And you're going to probably get tired walking it. And you're going to get dirty walking it. It doesn't move very fast. But at the end of that trail, well, it says that there's life. See, that's the difference. All 10 of these men had that gift bestowed to them. Just like everybody in the world has the gift of Christ that was given to them. But it was only the one that truly received it. Only the one that truly became thankful and came back to Jesus. That man received more than just a physical healing. He became clean inside. That's thankfulness. It isn't just God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. If our hands now we're fed, thank Him for our daily bread. Or something thereof. A little poem prayer. That's not thank you. Thank you is when you look at the life God has given you. Do count your blessings. And begin with the blessing of the fact that Christ died for you. That's a huge deal. That becomes the focal point of your life, and you know what? Your life is going to change. This man's dead. He just couldn't do things the way that he had always done them. We're going to do a time of decision, and I'm going to encourage you this morning to consider, what do you have to be thankful for today? I've given you the top thing on the list. Jesus. That's the top thing to be thankful for. But you know, when you follow Christ in your life, you know, there are so many other things that go to the Lord. You know, things God has blessed you with. Air. Houses, cars, although sometimes I don't think those are blessings. I think those are hindrances to our blessings. You know, family, kids, and friends. All of it made possible because we are following Christ. Let me encourage you this morning to use this time of decision to think about those and truly thank God for what He's done. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you know what? Those verses I read to you from Romans, we have a nickname for those. We call those the Roman Road. Those verses, the first time you've ever put those pieces together, you know what? You need to come back to Christ today. Come on back. We'll come on down front. I'll sit you down with somebody. They'll go back over the scriptures with you. But make sure you understand what it means to be a Christian and you can give your life to Christ today. It's invitation time. It's for that. Maybe you need to come forward and kneel and pray. That's fine. You can pray right there. I'll pray with you. Whatever you need. This decision time is yours. Would you please stand? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you. Lord, let me say it again. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for that sacrifice you made on the cross for us. We couldn't say it enough. There are enough words to express the gratitude that we need to have for what you've done for us, God. But Lord, you don't desire words. You desire some action. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you will let us have an attitude of gratitude in our life, Lord. And thank you for all that we do, God. Be with us during this time of decision. Christ, in our prayer.